Think about the last barbecue or birthday party you went to. Did the men clump together talking about cars and sport while the women chatted about kids? Or were the blokes also comparing notes about their latest park expedition or nappy explosion or school drop-off? There aren't many stay-at-home dads, though the number is slowly growing, but I'm keen to find out if dads are more involved in the parenting these days. What's it like in your family? If you're a father, have you changed your work-life balance to be more hands-on with your kids? Tell us on our Facebook page. There's a new book that is aiming to celebrate the slow but revolutionary rise in hands-on fathers. Andrew McCutcheon is co-author of the book and a website called The Fatherhood. Andrew, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, what inspired you and your co-authors to write this book?
Look, I think there's been this tremendous shift in fatherhood that hasn't really been reflected back through the media or through any books that we'd read. And, you know, there are these incredible statistics that really paint that picture. You know, we're spending three times more hours per week with our kids than our fathers did. There's, you know, in a US census in 2014, there were 2 million stay-at-home fathers compared to 6 in 1970. So there's just been these tremendous kind of shifts that have all tipped over and they're not being reflected. And I think in my own friendship group with Luke and Jeremy, the conversations we were having about fatherhood, like you described at that barbecue, were so different to what we were seeing reflected back to us that we thought maybe this is a conversation that other dads will want to buy into and read about.
And what was it like for you? I mean, you had three kids in 4 years and a stepdaughter.
Yes. Yep.
Were you prepared for that change and those emotions?
Look, I don't think you can ever be fully prepared, but the best description of having a stepdaughter or a stepchild, I think, was captured by Osher Gunsberg in this book. He talks about other fathers perhaps having an off-ramp, an exit ramp to fatherhood that allows you to sort of slowly accelerate to get into speed, whereas step-parenting is very much just pulling onto the highway from the side of the road and trying to get up to speed. So, look, it was that early learning curve was really steep, but it was probably... It did give me an advantage going into having my own children about just the fundamental shifts in, you know, being selfless and just the priority shift that happens in parenting.
And the love that you had never prepared for.
Never. And again, since we've started the fatherhood, there's been a lot of discussion from future fathers about, oh, tell me, can you give me some kind of preparation? And I mean, how do you prepare someone for their heart doubling in size? I mean, it's a biological change in the way you feel, and there is no preparation for that joy, I suppose.
The book is full of interviews and quotes from famous dads like Ben Stiller and Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. But how relevant are they for the average Australian dad? I mean, should we take parenting advice from Wolverine?
Yeah, well, look, I think fatherhood's a great leveller. And, you know, one of the real sort of origin stories that we tell that sounds like it's trying to leverage celebrity, but it's quite true, is that in my previous life as a journalist, I was fortunate enough to be on a boat with Chris Hemsworth and Matt Damon for 4 days. And of course, for the first day, you're quite starstruck and, you know, you don't think you're going to have much in common. But Matt Damon actually has a stepdaughter who's in her 20s and three daughters that are the same age gap as mine. So through that conversation with him about what his dad journey was like, it kind of broke open the next 3 days. And for 3 days, we talked about these fathering issues and realized very quickly that fame doesn't solve fathering issues. Money doesn't solve it at all. So again, it was that notion of not only having sort of fatherhood discussions with people from all walks of life, but also I think I just thought to myself in that moment, the journalistic instinct kicked in, and I thought, if this conversation was being viewed or listened to by everyday fathers, there might be a sense of, again, there's that slightly more aspirational tone to fatherhood that is missing, because there is a filter that only allows certain dad stories to get through to the media, and there's never been a story like that. You know, Thor and
Jason Bourne
and Andrew McCutcheon, the most famous of three. No, but us discussing changing our careers to put our families first. Chris was on the verge of moving back to Australia, which is a big deal when you're a Hollywood star. If you move away from Hollywood at the zenith of your career, there's going to be consequences. So, you know, he was making major life decisions that were based on putting his family first. So I do actually think that that's a great sort of indication of how relevant their story is. But also in the book, there's just as many everyday dads like myself and Luke and Jeremy who are just doing this incredible juggle.
So what would help more fathers do that? Is it all about the parental leave and the flexible work entitlements, or are there other things that might enable more dads to stay home more often?
Look, I think that the infrastructure really helps, but it's also the desire and probably the stigma being reduced, and that's our goal. Is like, we did a workshop at LinkedIn, one of the first organizations to really get behind the fatherhood, and they wanted us, they said just quietly in our ear before we went up to speak, push the paternity leave program, please just make it look good.
Because it's there, but people aren't taking it up.
Hadn't been taken. So we went up and really stridently talked about how we had changed our lives to spend more time with our kids when they were young, and told some anecdotes about how close our kids were to us. And after that workshop, a guy came forward and said, I actually haven't told anyone at work yet, but I'm pregnant. And I liked that he said I'm pregnant. That was cool. But he also said, I think I'm going to do it. And I was like, yes, do it. I said, absolutely do it. It's that the bonds that are formed in those early years are just going to change. They're going to revolutionize not only your relationship with your child, but the relationship with their child, because they've had this model to them. So, there's just this great ripple effect that we're hoping to be a part of.
I'm getting a bit teary because my husband's just taken 6 months off to stay with our 4-year-old before he goes to school, and we've got a 7-year-old at school, so he's doing all that work. Mm. And he looks bewildered a lot of the time. Like, obviously there's a lot to learn, but I think he was unprepared for that level of depth of relationship. And now the kids are playing daddies and babies at home. It's like, oh, we'll take care of you, little baby. Okay.
And really, how's it lovely. Affected your relationship?
Oh, I've never loved him more. Like, obviously. He does the dishes now all the time. It's like, great. But, on that, I mean, we know that women still do the majority of housework, mm-hmm. and even if they're the primary breadwinner, and stay-at-home dads do less housework than stay-at-home mums. Mm. How does the fatherhood, the book and the website, try and deal with that?
Look, first thing is we call it out. The emotional labour of that mundanity is 100% awful, and it does create resentment, and it is something that I think just the mindfulness of that, and look, nothing teaches you like doing, and we find that dads that stay at home with their kids and have unbroken periods of time with their kids suddenly have more empathy and have more awareness of the imbalance. And while I could be doing better, Fiona, to my wife, because I certainly don't want to sound sanctimonious, because I think she still does more than me at home, I do think an awareness of what you're not doing will definitely lead to being more involved and to a more equal and harmonious household.
We're talking with Andrew McCutcheon, who's one of the authors of The Fatherhood, with Luke Benedictus and Jeremy McVean. What's the worst advice you ever got on fathering?
Oh, look, I'm going to defer to Luke's story here, because I actually had something similar. And I feel like it might be very common bad advice. So rather than pull another one out of the hat, there's a great story Luke tells in the book about someone at work who we really liked and admired, and a woman who loved her kids. So she had a great baseline for some sort of meaningful advice. But she said, look, support the mum and that will help support the baby. But through giving that advice to make sure the wife's okay, without actually getting hands on yourself, you're always a step removed. And I feel like that is the wall we break down. And there was a point very early in my parenting journey with my first born child that I was just too scared to touch the baby. And there wasn't really a lot of need, because obviously those first few months, there's an incredible connection between the mother and the child. But after seeing that I was tentative, my wife left me basically at home with the baby for 24 hours. And by the end of that, I just got it. I was able to quickly change a nappy, and I'd had some eye contact, because the thing about changing a nappy is that it's quite an intimate experience for the changer and the changee. And it's interesting, Prince William, and to me this is another sign of the shifting perception of fatherhood. He came out holding the baby. I think, no, Prince Harry was the first royal to hold a baby in the photo, but Prince William, on his first day of parenting, said, I changed the first nappy. I consider it a badge of honour. So there's just through that hands-on experience, and it's great to see him getting in there before I did, but through the doing and through the connection you can form when you're looking after a child, I think, yeah, the the bond is incredibly strong, and the advice to stay out of that loop is terrible. Get in there as soon as you can.
Well, just quickly, Andrew, before we finish up, what's become your idea of success now? Has it changed?
Oh, it really has. But I think that this is the core of why we're doing what we're doing. I don't think modern dads know what success looks like. Is it succeeding at work and being a great breadwinner? Is it being at home, being hands-on and being really engaged with the kids? And look, it will be a different hybrid of all of those things for you. But for me, success is, there's a great story in the book about how a surgeon asked dying men their greatest regret, and it's always not spending more time with the kids. So success is spending a lot of time with your kids in the early parts of their life when they're so open and looking to you for guidance and for love.
Are you having different conversations with your dad or other older dads now?
I actually asked my dad yesterday, because my dad's incredibly affectionate with my kids, and I asked him, were you as sort of affectionate with me when I was that young? And he said, well, you're a boy, because I've got all girls. So I think he said that he thinks he was, but we are having different conversations. But look, I think this book is not to lionize new fathers as any kind of a cut above fathers from other generations. I just think we have a new opportunity. Richard Fletcher, who's a great sort of expert in this field, talks about being this is the best time in history to be a dad. So, you know, we really see that as there's a lot of opportunity here for a new type of fatherhood.
Is it just in the inner city hipster bubble though? I mean, that's where my husband is and it's been easy for him. Is it harder for other dads in other places?
I think it is. I agree. I think that the hipster bubble is already a sort of a trend, and I think we're seeing a certain hipster style of fatherhood that's easily dismissed as a lefty inner city thing. But I just see, even I'm out a little bit out of the city, I'm an hour out of the city, and I'm seeing slower progress there, but definitely a willingness. And that's why I think we show a more attractive vision of fatherhood, a more aspirational, more just a brand. And we're sort of unashamedly a brand for dads.
Yep. Rebadging Fatherhood. Mm. The Fatherhood is the book and the website. And the co-authors of the book are Luke Benedictus, Jeremy McFean, and my guest today, Andrew McCutcheon. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Life Matters here on RN.